Hello and welcome once again!
And again!
To Crazy Comics and Stories.
And again.
It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internet is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing fine. How do you like being in the day side of the world?
It's weird. There's this big yellow glowy thing in the sky.
It's nuclear. It'll kill you eventually. People are worried about TSA scanners, but those are the same people who are out trying to suntan.
What is the suntan?
You'll get it. Don't worry about it. Pale boy like you, boy, you're going to be burnt no problem.
My roommate in college was Irish. He used to say that him going to the beach was like putting a fork in the microwave. So, Joe, you said something last week about how your schedule may change.
Yep.
And?
I did next week.
Oh.
So I'll keep you in suspense. And actually, it'll be on the 11th, so we'll have one more podcast before I bid, and then even when I do bid, it doesn't take effect until the 20th of April.
So you're just a damn tease.
I am.
You know who's not a tease?
Who's that?
These guys are sponsors.
Crazy Comics and Stories is brought to you by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best web host in the whole known universe. And you can get $20 off your first year by using the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z. That's DreamHost.com. Graze.com. Love snacks? Want something healthy? Go to Graze.com for healthy snacks sent to you every 2 weeks. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, that's Corey S3R5P, you get your first and fifth box free. Crazy Comics and Stories would love to hear from you. You can email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call us at 952-856-0519. If you would like to buy advertising on Crazy Comics and Stories, you can, and the rates are reasonable. Please contact me at corey.strode@gmail.com. Thanks.
And you know who else is in a tease?
Oh, excuse me. I held that in because I was listening to the sponsors. God. It's important information because, as you know, I will have a first-person account as I switched my email from the crazy@isd.net, an email I have had since, I don't know, 1996, and switch it over to DreamHost.
Oh, wow.
Because two reasons. First of all, I want to get myself going in a store. As you know, I am selling stuff on eBay, and talk about that a little bit more. And then I also have to do the incredible task of switching over all my emails. Now, it's not just, you know, telling everybody who's in my email address book, hey, I got a new email, fine. No, it's all the things I signed up for in that email things. I mean, PW Insider, eBay, PayPal, WWE Fan Council, United Airlines, all my airline things, Huffington Post, Pinterest, Facebook. The list goes on and on and on
and on
and on
and on
and on.
And on.
So one of the reasons I'm switching is because I have got my old account I used to have, which was J Rider. Very simple. I get approximately 200 to 300 emails a day on it.
Ooh.
Everyone junk mail. And I've made folders, but I get so tired, is like I'll flip on and it'll say, you're near the capacity of your email, but, and it's like, well, most of it's junk mail. So that'll be a task I'll do for another day because I had other things I was doing today. Mostly digging deep, deep into the archives so that I can figure out what is going to survive the great culling of 2014.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. What comics I actually keep versus which ones am I going to shed? Am I going to keep both kinda versions like, of Archie Meets Kiss? My Johnny Ryber, John Cassaday, Captain America, the 80-page Wonder Woman, and the three copies of Iron Jaw from Atlas Comics I have? Or...
Ooh, Iron Jaw!
Or will they show up into the, not to survive box? You know, it was fun today. I mean, I was digging through some stuff and I ran across a 80-page Giant Superman number 183 that was basically reprints and it has prize stories from the Superman library. Some of these stories are so rare. Less than 100 copies of various are Superman's going, readers, now you can read Superman stories published before you were born. Less than 100 copies of this issue are in existence. And the story is so rare, collectors will pay up to
$30. $30?
For a perfect copy.
For a comic book?
Yeah, they're crazy.
That's just crazy talk.
They're talking about Superman, cartoon hero, the origin of Mr. And the only reason I got this is because I think it was accidentally folded in half, so somebody had it like super cheap in their box.
You know something, Joe? I wouldn't pay $30 for a funny book.
Nope.
That's just crazy talk.
It is. Well, how about if you, for superheroes, the Fab Four, we're talking the Dell Fab Four.
Oh!
Yep.
Not the Beatles.
Nope. And I should have saved that one for the obscure character things we never do. And then, of course, how many copies of Marvel Premiere number 39 featuring the Torpedo do I actually need?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do knew you need about 20 copies of the Marvel Premiere featuring Wood God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a movie.
You know what? If Rocket Raccoon is going to be a big star, Wood God is next.
It's inevitable. What I find amazing is as I dig through my collection, just the things I've bought that I've never read. Some of them I plan to. Like there was during the 2009, Marvel did a bunch of 70th anniversary specials. It's like one was USA Comics featuring the Destroyer. And there was another one here, Submariner Comics number 1 from the Timely Comics group. This one was written by Roy Thomas, so I'm actually kind of looking forward to reading it. I've got a copy of Ultimate Spider-Man 150. Don't know why I don't normally read Ultimate Spider-Man.
Was he dead in that one?
I think he was alive.
Oh, okay.
I do have a copy of Justice League 19, the Sergio Argoni's Mad Magazine cover variant. That'll probably go on eBay.
Oh, okay.
So, just all sorts of fun things. And as I said, 4 copies of Iron Jaw number 1. You can't get enough of that, I'm telling you.
Well, we went off the rails there, but I was going to ask. Do you have anything else that you want to tell us about as we are getting through all the plugs?
No, not yet.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Because normally this is when you talk about spring time.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that later.
Fine.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now we do have an email account.
We do?
Yes, you set it up.
I did?
Yes.
Huh.
I'm going to go to the webpage right now where it's, okay, there's categories, the podcast, Solitaire Rose Radio, uncategorized. There's archives, which if you go back, we started this here podcast 4 years ago.
Yep.
You make you feel old?
Nope.
Well, don't worry. I'll make you feel old before this show's over. That's my duty.
You said duty.
Yes.
No, when I look at my first comic that I have archived or slabbed, my Amazing Spider-Man 178, that makes me feel old.
Okay, and email the show, crazycomics@gmail.com. Now, I don't check that email because you set that up and you never gave me the password.
I'm not.
So have we gotten any email there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you checked the email, Joe?
Do we have an email?
Crazycomics@gmail.com, the one that you set up.
I did?
And you never gave me the password.
I must be mixed in with my Amazing Spider-Man issues.
So, all this time, for the last 4 years,
seems like
never checked. You've never checked our email.
Not really.
You realize, of course.
No.
You realize, of course, beautiful women could be emailing, asking me if I would help them and their Nigerian prince friend bring millions of dollars to the U.S.
I would be willing to bet the same women would be asking you about penile enhancement and how to make yourself last longer.
Well, doesn't everybody want that?
Oh, good to see the crickets are up.
What about Viagra, except the eyes are all ones?
You can get it for as little as $10 a pill.
You know, the ones that I like, the spam emails that I like, are the ones that say, Christian singles are looking for you. Because when I read that headline, I go, oh, God, what did I do to piss them off now?
Eat this and never forget a single thing.
So anybody who has emailed us at crazycomics@gmail.com, you've never opened that account and looked.
I don't ever recall opening it.
You know why I bring this up?
Well, no.
Because we got an email from Matthew Guy.
So you're saying for 4 years, Matthew Guy is the only person who's actually emailed us.
No.
Good for him.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he sent me a note on our Facebook page saying, I sent you guys an email. And it was one of those days when you weren't around. So I said, well, I don't have the password to that account. Why don't you just email it to me?
We have a
Facebook page? I will read it on the show. Because I don't know if we've ever gotten any emails. Joe never tells me. And he never gave me the password, so I can't look at the account. Joe, for all I know.
Hey, look at that. We do have a Facebook page.
For all I know, we got an offer. Somebody offered us. Disney offered us $5 billion to buy this podcast. We didn't answer them back, and instead they bought Lucasfilms.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I'll do it again.
Gas?
And I'll follow it with the sad music.
Sad music, everyone.
Well, Matthew Guy emailed us, Joe.
Makes me want to eat pudding.
You know what? We'll get into that when we get to Geeking and Freaking.
Pudding? Ooh, yes. We got a lot of foreshadowing in this episode. It's very exciting.
So we got an email from Matthew Guy. Hey, guys!
Hi, Guy!
I'm enjoying the show as always, but something has me a little worried.
Wait a minute. Does that mean there were some times he wasn't enjoying the show?
No, it says, I am enjoying the show as always, well, which means he always enjoys the show.
In that 50th episode?
Our 52nd episode. That means he enjoyed it. I should go talk to, I don't even remember the guy's name. Because no one allows him to have anything to do with the show anymore.
He was deported.
Yeah. But, yeah, he always enjoys the show. Even when you forget the email password.
What email?
But something has me a little worried.
It's Will Eisner week?
A lot of my favorite titles are ending.
Uh-oh.
Fables, Ferrest, Fatal, and Superman Unchained. He puts in parentheses, yes, I'm the one reading that book. Oh, there are a lot of people buying the book.
He's not
you may
it.
Be the only one reading it. All are finishing their runs or getting canceled in the near future, so I need some suggestions to replace them with. Is Black Science or Sex Criminals a good idea in trade? I'm already getting the new She-Hulk and starting yet another new volume of Daredevil. Are any of the off-beaten path indies that good? Blah, 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 blah. I'll read that again.
I'm pretty sure you didn't write that.
Any of the off-beaten path indies that are good? I treasured both collections of Black Sod from Dark Horse for the stunning artwork, so anything in that ballpark of great art available that I don't have to wait years for. I would even take original graphic novel suggestions. I don't have a local comic shop. Mm. I use DCBS, so I really need your help. I feel bad for anyone who really needs our help. I think Joe's the one who really needs help.
No, I don't. I got a whole stack full of chocolate cookies and a quart of chocolate soda. I'm doing fine.
Much appreciated, Matthew. Matthew, thank you for emailing us.
Thank you, Matt. You make Corey's day.
Yes. Feedback. It makes me happy. And it also let me know something that I didn't know before.
Which is?
That you've never checked the goddamn email account!
We got an email account?
I don't drink enough for this job.
Mm. You're all Girl Scout cookies. Good.
Joe?
I'm here.
Matthew's asking for help. What comics should he be reading since his comics are ending? Well, first I'll say that Fables and Ferrest, they're not ending for, like, what, a year and a half?
But he knows the same horror that us Sandman fans felt when we were told it's ending in a year.
No! I still remember The Invisibles when it's, okay, we're starting over with the second volume. And then the second volume is coming to an end, and we will be doing a 12-issue miniseries that will wrap everything up. And there was a gasp of horror in me that The Invisibles is ending? It's ending? No! Say it ain't so! Say it ain't so! Or Preacher. I remember Joe cried a lot when they announced that Preacher was ending. That's one of the things about a lot of creator-owned books and books that are creator-focused. Since, pretty much since Sandman. Sandman, I think, was the first long-form comic series that it wasn't a mini-series, it wasn't a maxi-series, but it did have a beginning, middle, and end. And after he was allowed to do that, and DC didn't say, and issue 76 of Sandman will be by an all-new creative team.
Cruel man. Cruel, cruel man.
Of Michael Fleischer and Don Heck. But there are a number of series that have been like that. One of the cool things about DCBS, which is an online website that doesn't buy any advertising, but we still like them, and Joe uses them.
Yes.
They are connected to what they are connected to another website where you can order graphic novels. So there are a number of series in the past that if you haven't read, as they used to say on NBC, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Woohoo.
So as we go through, we'll talk about some modern stuff, but we'll also talk about some previous stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, when Corey sent me a copy of the email that off an account that I don't ever recall opening, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is they're like,
death with a 2x4.
What are we – you couldn't afford a 2x4. The question's always like, okay, have you read any of the big ones that everybody seems to wave about? Sandman, Preacher, Watchmen, Hellboy, Kingdom Come, Marvels, JLA versus Avengers, you know, the classics.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, if you haven't, pause this here podcast and go get yourself a used copy somewhere, because you could probably pick a few off eBay. And that's something too. Also, he brings up a couple of books that I actually have sitting in my to-be-read pile, Black Science and Sex Criminals. I'm telling you, Image is becoming the new company to watch.
Yes,
because
very much so.
It's almost like if you were a speculator, and I don't want to encourage that, but maybe I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah. What you might want to just pick up one of every Image number one just to try it, but B, to sit on it, because it might go up in value. Because what will happen is the next super hot title, nobody's going to catch until it's already gone. I just looked up a copy of Chew number one, $288.
Yeah.
If you can find a first print. Walking Dead is over $1,000. Now, the nice thing about it is, unless you're super duper anal and need to have a first print, you can buy subsequent printings, which tend to go down in value, or you can do what we'll probably talk about, the graphic novel. But the thing, what I'm getting at is, before we actually start talking about what we're going to recommend, I was going to talk a little bit, and we might even let Corey talk too.
Maybe.
How do you find out about these series? And of course, the number one thing that I would recommend is, of course, the previews catalog. Comes out monthly. If you are using, I think it's what, $4, $5 in the shop. If you are using, the discount comic book service, they sell it to you for like $1.50 or something. And it lists almost everything available, at least through Diamond Comics. And if you get a chance, sit down and actually look at it and read it. I mean, sure, it's all divided up into the big guys, you know, Dark Horse, DC, Image, Marvel. I think Boom has their own section, or is it IDW has their own section. But a lot of times you gotta spend some time, look at what little tiny blurb they give you. I mean, I totally missed out She-Hulk number one. I read through everything. I know what's coming, but I missed it for whatever reason. And I read the little Marvel supplement that comes in it. A lot of times, I gotta admit, you know, you go through the same old, especially, you know, Corey and I right now are down on DC. So it's like Batman, meh. Batman 2, meh. Batwing, meh. Batgirl, meh. Batcow, hey now. Okay, I'll get that one.
There's a Batcow comic?
No, I'm just trying to get, I wasn't sure you were listening. I know, but there should have been. But you really, once you get past the big guys, look at some of the independent stuff and really take a close look, because that's where you're going to find some of the more interesting things. I'm looking right now behind my, into my vast, vast archives, because there was one that I picked up called Death Sentence from Titan. And, for some reason, I've only got number two, but I know I've ordered the other ones. Number five's out, and the miniseries is coming. But, you know, that's the type of thing that, how many people have you looked at Titan Comics to see what they actually have to offer? And when we start talking about our, recommendations, I'll talk a little bit more about this one. But that, the big thing, like I said, is previews. Now, he mentioned he doesn't have a comic shop nearby. The other thing I was going to mention was the freebie comic shop news.
Yes.
Weekly paper comes out, tends to list everything coming up, highlights some of the bigger books, things that people really are into. So that's a couple of ways. Hopefully you can catch something before it's too late. What do you, how do you use, you use previews, don't you, Corey?
Yep, I use previews, but the other thing that I do, I read, first off, I'm on thecomicforums.com, which is the comic book discussion forum set up by the people over at Comic Geek Speak. It's not as active as it used to be, but it's still active, and you will have people who talk about what they like, what they're reading, stuff that's coming out that they're excited about. It's one of the things that I use to kind of see what's out there, because I don't go to comic shops on a weekly basis anymore. And one of the things about going to the comic shop when it's busy is people are hanging out, talking about what they like and going, oh, have you read this? Have you seen this? Do you want to look at this? When you go to a comic shop, you also get the guy behind the counter who, oh man, I read blah, blah, blah this week and it's amazing. You should go pick it up. Or, you know, one of the things you did, you had recommended books. And you were different from Schindler's recommended books, because their recommended books was whatever they ordered a whole hell of a lot of. Whenever the X-Men came out, that was a Schindler's recommended book. The X-Men doesn't need to be recommended. People, I think, know the X-Men exists. But they all, and then the other thing I use is comic book news sites and podcasts. There are a number of podcasts.
What?
Podcasts.
I've never heard of that. What are those?
Well, you set it up through your email. Oh, there's the crickets.
Yeah.
But I listen to podcasts where they interview creators. Word Balloon.
How creative.
Yep. They interview the creators of comic books. I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts about comic book fans anymore. Mostly because there's so many podcasts that I listen to now, I just don't have the time. But I listen to books where they interview creators, because a lot of the creators are coming on and talking about, I've got this book coming out. It's really good. And if it sounds interesting, I'll pick it up. I'll give it a try. Or creators that I enjoy, like Ed Brubaker or Brian Michael Bendis or Greg Rucka, they'll come on and talk about, oh, here are the projects I have coming out in the next few months. Here's what I have planned for my career in the next year or two. Here's my long-term goals. Comic book resources, they've got a lot of, they get all of the press releases. If you go to comic book resources or Newsarama or sites like that, most of what they call news, and I'm making quotes in the air that you can't see, most of what they call news is they print a press release. And there's nothing in the world wrong with printing a press release as long as people know, hey, this is a press release Marvel sent us. This is a press release DC sent us. This is a press release Image sent us.
Well, there are things, too, to look for, especially in the two big ones, Newsarama and Comic Book Resources.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll give you previews. So you can actually go in and look at a couple of them, which, again, when we get the death sentence, that's how I found out about it. You can actually go in, look at, like, the first, what do they got here, first seven pages. They got a little synopsis of what it's about. So it's something to, you know, like you said, obviously they were given this to promote the book, but here's a chance for you to actually sample it and look at it. That's one thing I like about Image when they're previewing a brand new book, a number one, they'll actually have four pages across from the description of the actual comic book. Granted, very small print, so, you know, old people like me got to pull out a magnifying glass and look at it. But you actually get a kind of a taste of what it's like. You can decide if you want to try it or not. I would also, I don't know if there's many people left. I used to love the Comic Buyer's Guide because that was also another wonderful place to read reviews and people who would give their opinions on the comics and stuff. Tony Isabella is about the only guy left on that I see online anyways. And he talks a lot about a lot of different things, but he also reviews comics. And so I'll kind of watch what he reviews, and if it sounds interesting, give it a try. Not everything he reviews I care about, and that's the thing it is with reviews, you know. So I'll follow his. He's got a Facebook page, which I think has hit 5,000 or 5,000 fans, so he's also got his official site. He also wrote a book, 1001 Comic Books You Should Read Before
you die. Yes.
And
that's not depressing at all.
No. I think that's, it might not be the title of it. I don't remember, but it was a fantastic book. And he goes into from the beginning, which we think of like Action One, all the way up to whenever the book was published. So fantastic stuff to read. There's also another book out there of a similar title. And again, eBay, I don't even know if there are bookstores around. You could probably pick them up online real cheap. Sometimes, Marvel, DC, Dark Horse will offer free downloads of various issues that you can check out. If you are doing discount comic book service, one of the things that's kind of cool is if you actually spend some time looking through their listings, you'll see oftentimes they'll offer specials. The last couple months, they've had a deal on like all of Marvel Now. So you could try all the Marvel Now books for 50% off number ones. Sometimes you got to look a little closer. You'll see they'll be discounting things. That's how I picked up a copy of Rat Queen number one, which again, it's in the to be read pile, but you know, you pick it up for 60 cents. Why not? They also have a number of try it books. This seems to be big with Image, Dark Horse. IDW is doing it, but for a buck, you can try a number one issue. The reason I keep saying this is because I'm running across a slew of them that I've just picked up. I figure for a buck, I've probably lost a buck in the couch cushions daily. Mental note, shake down couch cushions. So that would be something to try. Now I know
the way you talk about shaking down the couch cushions. Why is it I think that you pull a gun and you go, all right, see, give me all your money.
No, I tend to talk more like Peter Loring. This is going to be enjoyable for me. Now, of course, there's a couple of things. Now, Matt sounds like he's in an area. He said he doesn't have a comic book shop nearby. So I don't know where he is. Because obviously he won't be able to take part in Free Comic Book Day unless maybe he makes a special trip on May 3rd.
Now, with Discount Comic Book Service, they do participate, but you have to check and you get a limited number of comics.
Yep. And there's like 60 of them this year. So.
Which is crazy talk.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, they may be, I know when I did it, it was like anywhere from 25 cents to a dollar, depending on the book that you would order. I don't know how a store like The Source does it. But, again, you're going to have to be pick and choose, see what happens if you actually can get to a comic book store on Free Comic Book Day. Or you could try to get to SpringCon. See? If you got a comic book show within 50 to 100 miles, it's definitely worth checking it out. And the big one for us is, of course, SpringCon, May 17th and 18th, 2014, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, www.midwestcomicbook.com. It's going to be huge, 100,000 square feet of extreme comic book action, 840 minutes of fun, and, of course, tons of comic books. Guys, I mean, every year Corey and I will spend a con or podcast afterwards just remarking about all the stuff we have found that's being blown out. And of course, SpringCon is relatively cheap to get into, only $10 at the door. Bring a can of food for the food shelves, get a dollar off. And you know, even like I said, I'm working on my old partner Pat, he's working on blowing some stuff out. He hasn't quite decided on what he's doing. He may do like $2 books, $5 books, and of course there's big collectible books. But there's always somebody there blowing something out, and that's an awesome, awesome place to check out stuff, pick up free stuff to try. So now that we've kind of laid out, I don't know, is there anything else you can think of, Corey, in terms of, tell you one thing about SpringCon. I finally ran into Nick over at The Source.
Ooh.
And tried to corner him. It was interesting because as he would slowly walk around the shop and kind of evade my questions. He was being real cagey about what's going on, saying, we're going to have some news coming up. I got some news coming. And finally, he grabbed a copy of the current Justice League of America and ran into the crapper so that I wasn't able to pester him anymore for exclusive information on SpringCon. But we've got.
However, if you want some non-exclusive information, are you excited, Joe?
I am.
Fire up your Twitter machine and go to twitter.com/MCBA1. They are tweeting out some of the attendees.
Woohoo!
So head on over there. I'm going down the page and it's link after link after link after link of people who are going to be there. Some of them are people who've been there before, like Bob Lipsky, Tom Richmond, Dan Biesemeyer, Andy Singer, Xander Cannon, the Arkham Asylum Funhouse will be back.
Which means I will never, ever see you at the charity booth that you and I will be working at.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, fair is fair. You let me go to the awesome art auction at the
yes.
Sunday, so...
You can also go to MCBA without a one for Twitter. Nope, wait, you can't. Never mind. I know they have another Twitter account, but I can't remember what it is.
So news.
Nope, I just see MCBA one.
Mm-hmm.
So go to MCBA one, and I actually just retweeted something that they tweeted out a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me head up here, because I'm going to read it, because I thought it was great. What? There are no $75 tickets for the MCBA Spring Con, May 17th and 18th, or outrageous add-on fees, or $25 parking?
No, free parking.
No, how much is it to get in, Joe?
$10.
How much is parking?
Free.
How much is it for an autograph?
Free.
How much is it to take a picture with the comic book creator?
Well, with the exception of you and I, free.
How much does it cost to get your picture taken with us?
We'll give you $5.
How much does it cost to get a picture of your daughter dressed up as Harley Quinn?
You're on your own on that one, baby. Trying to get to Italy this next year, so it may be charging this time. And remember that can of food. Everybody in the family can come. Bring a can of food and get a buck off, which you can then turn around and come to the charity booth and pick up something outrageous for a buck.
Although, you know, if it's something that should cost more, I am good at guilt.
It's for charity. We will.
And Joe's formerly Catholic, so you know he's good at guilt.
Yeah, I've still got quite a few.
So, Joe... Right off the bat, we've talked about where you can get info on upcoming comics.
And it takes some time, you know.
The other thing I'm going to suggest, and I tell this to anybody who's not a huge comic fan. Go into a shop, pick up something that seems interesting. If you like it, take a note of who the creators are. And I don't just mean, you know, who wrote it, who drew it, but also look at who published it and who edited it. Back at DC, back when I first went into a comic shop, I picked up comics from First Comics. It was like, E-Man, I've heard of E-Man. And I picked it up, and it was pretty good, and they were advertising other books from First. And, this Nexus thing seems pretty good, this Badger thing, American Flag, boom, boom, boom. And I noted who the editor was, Mike Gold. So when Mike Gold went over to DC, it's, what books is he editing? He's editing... He's editing the one that comes to mind, The Question. He's editing Green Arrow. Any book that he edited, I would at least give it a try. Because if I like the stuff he's editing, that means I probably have the same tastes as him. Now, it's pretty easy to do with the big companies. At the smaller companies, it's a little harder to do. Because... Let's say you go to Oni Press. well, they really only have one editor, and that guy's the owner. But when you get to a company like IDW or Boom, they have multiple editors. So if you really like Lock and Key, what other books is that guy editing? You're going to try those out.
Did you know The Source had an exclusive cover of that?
No, I did.
Yeah.
I follow writers more than artists. So one of the books you mentioned, Fatale, I'm picking it up as graphic novels because it's easier that way. But it's Ed Brubaker. Well, I read it, Ed Brubaker, back when he did Sleeper at Wildstorm. Oh, I like his stuff. He does good crime fiction. Came over to Marvel, did a run of Captain America, did a few other books. Did the creator-owned book Incognito and Criminal, both of which I love. His contract's up at Marvel. He goes over to Image. Just look at what Image is putting out, because when Fatale ends, you know that Brubaker and his and the artist he's worked with on Fatale, Sean Phillips, they've been working together since way back at Criminal. You know they're going to put out another book together. They've already announced that they're doing it. They just haven't announced the name of it. I'm a big Brian Michael Bendis fan. I like his creator-owned stuff. He's got a new book coming out called United States of Murder, where he's doing a comic about the mob. Oh, I noticed Brian Michael Bendis back when he did Jinx and AKA Goldfish and those crime books. He's going back to crime books. Good, I'm going to pick that up. Bill Willingham's a little harder because what he is saying about Fables and Ferrest is he's retiring. He's in his 60s. He wants to retire and enjoy his old age. Joe, you've met Bill Willingham, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really think he's going to retire, or is he just going to take a break and come back with something else?
He's going to do like, what's his name on Doonesbury? Take a break, come back.
Or like Mick Foley. Oh, retire. Oh, look, I'm back. Oh, I'm retired. Oh, look, I'm back. Oh, I'm retired. Oh, look, I'm back. So the creators you like who create books you like, follow them. Sign up for their Twitter feed. Sign up for their Tumblr accounts. Sign up for their Facebook pages. I find out more about the creators that I follow via their Facebook page than I do anything else that we've talked about, because they're going to use their Facebook page to pump their new stuff. I follow Dan Slott's Facebook page. That's how I found out he was going to be doing a Silver Surfer book with Mike Allred. Or Jonathan Hickman. That's how I found out about the books he's doing over at Image. Follow the creators. They've learned over the years the publishers aren't going to push them as well as they can push themselves. Anything to add, Joe?
Not really. I mean, there are a ton of creators out there that only do things via like Kickstarter or their own website. There's one gentleman does a comic, Geek Girl, and I was following along with his comic, and I ran across a website which I've yet to refine that filled with thousands of creators just doing their own book, selling it one at a time online, direct person to person.
Yep.
So, you know, and again, I'll look for that again, and we'll probably bring it up in a future podcast. Once I find that place, because I mean, I was just gobsmacked. I was like, oh, I don't think I have enough money to buy all these things because I'd like to try them.
That's the other thing. If you follow the creator's Facebook page and Twitter, when they do a Kickstarter, when they do an ultra indie type thing, you're going to find out about it. One of my favorite comics of all time, and I will recommend if the trade paperbacks are still in print, is Gloom Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Gloom Cookie came out in the 90s. It started as kind of a semi-autobiographical story that turned more fantasy, and by the end it became very dark fantasy. The creator, Serena Valentino, went on to do a book called Nightmares and Fairy Tales. She's not working in comics right now. She's writing novels for Disney. But when she has a comic project, she puts it out on Kickstarter. I did an interview with the people who do World War Kaiju. They're not even going to sell that thing through Diamond. It may be available through DCBS, but it's only going to be available via Kickstarter because Diamond Distribution, they found that for the smaller projects that they like to do, Diamond just isn't efficient for them. So I can't stress enough, when you read a book you like, follow the creator. And the next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go down a list of the indie books that are on the top 300 chart that I read and enjoy.
Because it's important to enjoy it.
Yes. There's some stuff I read where I go, this wasn't very good. I think I'm done here. And I've said, I read one book from DC now, and that's Batman 66. No, I take that back. I'm now reading two books from DC, Joe.
Uh-oh.
The other one is Adventures of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Legends of the Dark Knight, I get depending on creator. Walking Dead is the number one selling indie book. It is my favorite non-Hawkeye comic right now. It's the book I read first. Yes, it's up to issue, 118. The trades are everywhere. You can go to the library and check them out to get caught up. Even if you don't like the show, give the comic a try. Go pick up that first trade. They've got it specially priced at $10. It's the first six issues. And when they announced it was coming out, I remember reading Robert Kirkman talking about what he was going to do with the book. And Joe and I talk about it a lot. I go, you need to get this book. This book's going to sell. And when Joe opened his shop, it was only like on issue
23.
12. Oh, issue 23? Yep. It still wasn't doing great. And I told Joe, no, this book. Buy this book, sell this book. Any you don't sell, I'll buy. I didn't have to worry about it because the tattoo place down, just two doors down, he came in and bought every issue that was on the shelf. And Joe, if you have suggestions, jump on in. Let's see. The Massive. I'm a huge fan of The Massive. It's by Brian Wood, who is also doing
X-Men.
He's doing X-Men. He's doing Dark Horse's Star Wars. All books that I enjoy. He also did a book for Vertigo that I am making my way through. I didn't read it at the time because you can't read everything. Called DMZ, which stands for Demilitarized Zone, which is a couple of years in the future. The U.S. has had a civil war. New York City is the demilitarized zone. It's, you know, the Civil War has kind of stopped. There's a truce. There's no active fighting. New York City is where a horrific battle took place. And DMZ is the stories of the people who are still in New York. That's an excellent book. Brian Wood, I enjoy his stuff. The Massive is set after climate change has pretty much flooded a lot of the earth, and The Massive was a big, like, Noah's Ark of scientists and things like that. It has gone missing, and we follow a group that's trying to find it as they're kind of going around the world. So it's really just a way, it's the MacGuffin. Okay, they're searching for this. They're not going to find it till the end of the book, the end of the series anyway. We're just following their journey. Kind of like in the Incredible Hulk TV show. Robert Bruce Banner is going from town to town trying to figure out how to cure himself. Well, he's not going to find it out till the end of the show. It's an excuse to get him to go from town to town.
And, of course, he's Robert because Bruce wasn't a manly enough name.
Yes.
Right, Bruce Jenner?
Well, have you seen Bruce Jenner lately?
Yeah, but back then he was pretty beefy. He was dreamy.
He looks more like a woman than my mom.
Corey, what would you do with superpowers? And
It's on the superpower.
What if you had 6 months to live? That is the
I'd
dilemma.
Sit in the corner. I'd be curled up on the floor in the fetal position going, I don't want to die.
Well, fortunately for you, that's what death sentence is about.
Ah.
It's what would you do with superpowers and 6 months to live? It's a dilemma facing three people who they contracted the G plus virus, a terrifying new STD. Just say no, people. So this series basically deals with what happens? Do they, have time to do what they want? Do they fade away? Do they go out in a blaze of glory? It turns funny. It's dark. It's sad. It's spectacular. And like I said, you can go right on Comic Book Resources and check out issue number one. If it's your cup of tea, all five issues are out. And I believe the graphic novel was just ordered. So if you are like me and wait a lot of times for the graphic novel, something to check out.
It's Velvet is by Ed Brubaker. It's a spy story. Two issues are out so far. It's very, very good. If you like Fatale, if you like Ed Brubaker's stuff, this is a really good Ed Brubaker series. I'm just going down the list here.
While you do that, I'll mention my favorite book of all times, which I've blabbed on and on about before a previous podcast. Tales of
My Little Pony?
Nope. Tales of the Bean World, my favorite black and white series by Larry Mauder. It's currently in print through Dark Horse. It's three hardcovers and one smaller hardcover kind of doing a half book. And of course you can probably find the actual issues cheap online if you're looking. And it's hard to describe it because Bean World is kind of like a weird fantasy dimension and operates under its own rules. And it's not really about destruction or violence. It's more about a relationship, very much ecologically driven. It talks about it's about the differences in the inhabitants and the forces of nature in and around it. I find it utterly, utterly fascinating. My daughters love it. My wife kind of, you know, she doesn't, anything I give my wife, she doesn't really like, but you know, she kind of, I think the daughter shamed her into reading it and she enjoyed it.
She put up with you giving it to her.
She needs, she needs an Academy Award for just hanging out with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one of my faves. It's a case of a book that came out in the 80s. It's not in print. He's working on the fourth book. He said it would be done 15 months. That was 15 months ago. So we're waiting, Larry. For now.
One of the books I'm really liking is Satellite Sam. Satellite Sam is written by Matt Fraction, drawn by Howard Chaykin, and it's set in the golden age of television during the 50s. And Joe, what does Howard Chaykin put in all of his books that he doesn't do for Marvel and DC?
Titties.
Gratuitous sex and violence. It's a really fun book, especially if you're interested at all in the early days of television. Of course, it's highly fictionalized and way over the top. But still, it's Howard Chaykin, Matt Fraction when he does indie books. Well, even his Marvel stuff, very well constructed, very well put together. Satellite Sam is probably only going to last a limited time, but as long as Howard Chaykin's drawing it and Matt Fraction's writing it, I'm right there.
Another book that I've waxed on and on poetic about is Love and Capes from Markle Press. It's available again, cheaply online. You can go directly to the creator, Thomas Zeller. And, that's how I was able to fill in holes in my collection. Essentially, since you mentioned you like Superman Unchained, I think you'd really love this one because this takes the familiar Superman Lois Lane romantic, ideas and imagines them, what would happen if the male superhero came out to his girlfriend. It's, they don't really deal a lot with the superheroics, more like the relationship between the two. The first series went 12 issues or 13 issues. Then there's a couple miniseries beyond that. All of them are in book form, and I highly recommend it. It's just one of those that I just love rereading over and over. Maybe true love will show the way. And it's proof. If DC can't figure out how to do a Superman, maybe somebody else can. And between Love and Capes and Alan Moore doing Supreme, I think it can be done.
The next book I have is Chew. Joe mentioned it already. Mm-hmm. Chew is about a world in which...
Well, there's a...
Chickens
are outlawed.
Yes. And chickens were so diseased, they're outlawed. The FDA is like the FBI. Mm-hmm. They don't just inspect. They're out there trying to track down the people who traffic in illegal meat, and the lead character is a cebopath, which means if he bites something, if he eats something, he knows everything about it. Kind of like the old, you know, if you touch a the psychic who could touch a photograph or an object and know everything about the person who touched it. He's like that with meat. And as the series goes on, there are other people with very weird psychic abilities. And it goes from being unbelievably silly to very dark and serious, sometimes in the same issue. It will last, what did he say, 60 issues? And they're up to issue 38, so pick it up in trades. Yep,
there's 7 volumes, or you can get the Omnivore editions, which collects... It's like 1 and 2 are collects issue 1, volume 1 collects 1 to 5, volume 2 collects 6 to 10. The Omnivore edition does 1 to 10. So you've got a couple different ways to collect it. And again, all the issues are sold out, multiple printings. So if you want to, you know, spend some serious bucks and find the first print, go for it. Or do like Corey and I say, buy the graphic novel.
Dynamite recently relaunched Red Sonja, and they relaunched it with Gail Simone as the head writer of the main series, but she's also got a spin-off series called Legend of Red Sonja, where she brings in female creators to tell short stories about Red Sonja. It's a very different book with her writing it. It's really good. Sales are not that good, which surprises me because Gail Simone has a huge fan following. And if you've in the past read Red Sonja and went, oh, it's just a boring female knockoff of Conan, Gail Simone has really brought in, she's brought in a really good sword and sorcery fantasy vibe. She's really made the character of Red Sonja a lot more believable, a lot more interesting. And Legends of Red Sonja is another way to kind of test out creators. So if there's a short story you like, look at who did it. Go get their other stuff. Your turn, Joe.
Cool. I've got, I think this is one, again, I've talked about in the past, Journey from Bill Loeb's, originally published in the 80s. And this has nothing to do with superheroes. It's the life of an early 19th century frontiersman, Wolverine McAllister. And it's a fun comic. It occurs over a series of a year. Starts with an extraordinary 16-page opening sequence of a bear chasing McAllister. And again, early issues when it first came out were hot. Very tough to find, and now it's mellowed out, so you can probably find the early issues fairly cheap. There was only 27, I'm sorry. Or you can just run down, I believe IDW collect them all in 2 volumes. And, again, this is just, to me, this was a treat. It was fantastic reading. When I was reading this stuff in my golden age of comics, it just blew my mind away. And, definitely check it out if you're looking for something a little bit off the beaten path.
One of my favorite creators is Matt Wagner. Both of my tattoos are from Matt Wagner Creations.
From him personally? Wow.
No, from his
creations. I didn't know he was a talented tattooist.
Where's that 2x4? He has been doing Grendel stories off and on for the past 30 years, and there is an upcoming series that I'm very excited about. It's Grendel versus the Shadow. Now, he's been writing The Shadow. He has worked with Dynamite Comics on a number of books. He did runs on a lot of their, I think he did a Green Hornet run. He did a Zorro run. He's doing a Shadow run right now. He'll be doing a crossover between Grendel and The Shadow.
Oh, wow. That'll be awesome.
Pick that up. If you like it, all of the Grendel stories have been put into omnibuses.
Even Grendel Batman?
Those are a separate trade.
Ah, cool.
But they've got the Grendel stories in omnibuses, and one of the things Matt Wagner has done, because many of the Hunter Rose stories were told out of order, and then he's had other miniseries that came after, he's gone back and reordered them in chronological order. And he's done some slight rewriting on the really early stuff for stuff that contradicted each other. So try the Grendel Zorro. If you like that, go pick up that Grendel Omnibus number one. If you like that, get the rest of them. Joe?
The last one I'm going to recommend is another one that I've raved on and on about. Astro City by
Kurt Busiek.
That guy's name. Yeah, he's some talented hack who just kind of came out of nowhere and just took the world by storm. No, seriously, if you like superheroes, you've got to read Astro City because he put such a fresh spin on it. And again, you probably pick up the books cheap. I recommend the graphic novels and they're worth rereading. I usually reread Astro City once a year because there are little clues he'll be dropping, early issues that suddenly make sense in later issues. So, and because it's a combined, or it's his world that he's playing in, we're just visiting it, he's pretty much got total control over what's going on, and so it's all going to make sense. I don't know if he's ever been called out as to, hey, this doesn't make sense, you said A and did B. It's currently going on as a regular series if you want to pick it up. I believe, is it in the Vertigo line of DC?
No. Oh yeah, it is. Because it is. They did move it over because it was in
Wildstorm. Because I think it started at Image Homage, and then when Jim Lee sold to DC, it kind of floundered a bit, and then it showed up. I forget if DC had like their own creator imprint for a while, and then it just flew over to the Vertigo line. But it's coming out, and that's all that matters. I just ordered the new book recently, so I can't wait to read it. Really, I just want to just yell out all the spoilers in it just to show you how clever this book is, but I'll keep mum and just recommend it. Cause again, if you've DC, Marvel, Image, if you like superheroes, Astro City's one you really got to check out.
I have two to end on. First one is a book from the 90s, one of the first wave Image books that is being reprinted and recolored. They are reprinting and recoloring The Max. Now, The Max was one of the very early Image books. It's by Sam Keith, and at the time, MTV did a TV series based on it, but the comic goes on after the TV series ends. He did 30 some issues. They are releasing it as individual comics so that they can recolor it for when it's collected in trade paperbacks. And it was very odd to me that it came out through Image, because at the time, Image was just, more superheroes! More, more, more! And the Max kind of looked like a superhero book, but it was really a very complicated urban fantasy book. And as I'm reading it again, I haven't read it since it originally came out, as I'm reading it again, it's very Sandman-like. And Sam Keith was involved in the creation of Sandman. Don't let anybody fool you. It's why he still gets paid when those Sandman trades come out. He's listed as a co-creator. So I think that what happened is after he and Neil Gaiman had their falling out, he took some of the ideas he was throwing in and kind of threw them into the Max.
Was it really a falling out, or was?
Yes.
I never heard that.
Yeah. Neither one talks about it very much.
Ah. Well, that's.
But I remember. That's I remember
a sign
at the
professionals, I guess.
Yeah. But I remember at the time there was a lot of talk about, you know, Sam Keith was going to be, it was Sam Keith and Neil Gaiman's Sandman. And if you look, they still list Gaiman, Sam Keith, and whoever the inker was of those first seven issues as the creators. And I guess when he had someone, Neil Gaiman said, I want someone else to draw the next story, Sam Keith got upset because he was a co-creator. And that's all I really know about it. But you can easily tell it's that same sort of dark urban fantasy that the early issues of Sandman played around in.
I will tell you one thing I remember, because at the time the Max came out, Image had like sucked in a lot of people to like join the Image revolution, and then they started retrenching. One of the many collapses of Image everybody predicted. And of course they were wrong, but that's a different subject. And they were asking, how come the Max wasn't one of those that was canceled? And I forget who the creator was. If it was Valentino or maybe Larson, or who, it might have been even McFarlane. They just said, well, you know, Keith is a very, very astute businessman.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
That's all they said. So whatever he had, whatever the terms he did with Image, he was able to at least finish his story as
yes.
opposed to just, like, I mean, somewhere I've got Shame and Tears, I've got Tribe, books that started with great fanfare and just
and huge
quit.
Sales.
And quit.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
And the last one I'm going to point out is a creator. I buy anything Garth Ennis does as long as he's not doing it for Avatar Press. Garth Ennis was the...
You mean you don't like Crossed?
No,
Zombies
I don't.
Zombies and sex?
I can't get past the art. The art is just... All of Avalon's books look exactly the same to me, and they just, they don't look good. I don't like their house style.
And see, that was one of the books I almost recommended, because I've picked up a few Cross books and I actually like them, but I'm still a little confused as to what order to read them in, if there is indeed an order.
And you have to check and see if he wrote it too.
Yeah,
because some of it is they like a lot of their Alan Moore books. Alan Moore wrote a short story or a poem. And they turn it into a comic book that Alan Moore has nothing to do with other than taking the check and saying thank you very much. And with Crossed, there are a lot of books that he hasn't written.
Yeah. Basically, it's whatever the zombie virus is, it just causes you to become a zombie and have sex. That's the most simplistic way to put it. So if either of those two get you going, check them out, because it's hard to describe without turning this into like a really R-rated show.
He first came to my attention with The Demon. He took over The Demon with issue 41. He then did the book Hitman, and then he did one of the top five books Vertigo's ever done, Preacher.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And we talked a few episodes ago about the series The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Garth Ennis is someone who, again, he made the Punisher. He basically took the Punisher, which Marvel had run that character into the ground. Took the Punisher, made it the most interesting comic Marvel was doing, did a run inside the Marvel Universe, and then when the Max line started, he said, oh, I would much rather do the Punisher as a Max book. It's the longest running, most successful book under the Max line. Anything Garth Ennis puts out is something I'm at least going to look at. And one of the things that I've been reading lately are his war stories that he did for DC. Because it's one of those, I picked him up. I'm not big on war stories, so I'll put it aside and read it later. Well, it's later, and they're excellent.
That's a case where, you know, if you like a writer, go ahead and follow.
Well, Joe, we've been talking for about an hour and 15 minutes. So you know what that means.
We thank Matt for his email and encourage people to send us more now that we found the long-forgotten password.
You found the password?
No, but we can certainly get it.
I'll let you do that. I went on the website and changed the email account that we say email us at to corey.strode@gmail.com.
That's good because I still have no idea what the email was.
Okay. It also means it's time for Freakin' and Geekin'. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Have you seen the freaking cost of comic book supplies?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I've got, as I said, I'm trying to get this massive collection ready for fall. And one thing I like to do is have everything I'm trying to sell be individually bagged and boarded. Or in a case of a set, you know, have it all together.
Oh, you're so naive.
I am. Because there's two things. First of all, if it doesn't sell, I would like it in good shape. I mean, seriously, there are times I go through, like, books and the guy, for whatever reason, hasn't bagged and boarded them. But you can tell somebody else has gone through them. Someone that may have not washed their hands ever.
Ew.
And you're kind of like, okay, I would buy this book for you from a quarter, but it looks like somebody left their fingernail jam on it. Or worse, it gets damaged because, you know, somebody bought an entire run and the rest of the books flopped over and folded in half. And so I would like to at least have it so if it doesn't sell, I can still have it. But, man, the price on these, I mean, you're talking, it's like, what, 10 bucks for 100 cardboards, 10 bucks for 100 bags? I gotta look online and find a cheaper place to buy this stuff. There's got to be something there. Corey, have you heard about a card game called Cards Against Humanity?
Yes, I have.
Did you know you can't buy it at any store?
No.
Yep. I went over to the source last night, and I figured I'd check it out because, you know, I'm always looking for a good party game. And they told me, yeah, we know about it. Can't buy it from us because these guys, their whole business paradigm is that they're not going to sell it to stores. You can go online and download the basic games. After that, you buy the rest of the expansions from them direct.
Oh, wow.
They're not going to sell to stores. They're just selling direct to people. I know of several game companies that have done that in the past. And then, of course, when it came time to want to sell to game stores, the game stores kind of said, meh, don't care. So I was a little disappointed about that, but I am going to go check it out. Like I said, I do like to support my local comic/game store. I figured I'd just buy it from the source. A lot of times game places that have them just bought it at full retail and just doubled the price. So,
oh, wow.
So we'll get a report of that game a little bit later. Corey, what you freaking on?
Well, I started my new job on Monday.
Cool.
And Monday, yeah, we had a horrible snowstorm the week before. So Monday, it's cold. And I said, well, it's my first day. I want to get there early. So I've been to Hopkins before. I go to the Hopkins Theater, which is like, you know, I don't know, not even a quarter mile away from where I'd be working. It takes about 20 minutes to get there. And I figure, well, if I leave an hour early, I should be fine. I've been on Highway 212, which is the road I would take. It's, you know, it gets kind of busy at rush hour, but not crazy busy. Joe, I was late for work my first day. Because the entire time I was on Highway 212, I never went faster than 20 miles an hour. Now, I called and said, look, I'm sitting in traffic. I haven't driven in rush hour traffic for a long time. I'm on my way. I'll be there. Second day, I leave at 6:30. I'm supposed to be there at 8. It's 12 miles from my house. I leave an hour and a half early. I pull in the parking lot at 7:56. Third day. Now, they built Highway 212 a few years ago. It's a four-lane highway, brand new, put there so that the people of Chaska can make it into Minneapolis much, much faster. We used to have an old highway that, you know, goes up a hill and around and goes by Flying Cloud Airport, which is an airport so small Joe would never be stationed there. Mm-mm. So Wednesday, I go, you know what? I'm tired of sitting in traffic the whole time. I leave about, what was it? I leave about 7. I go up the old back way. You know, the way that, oh, we have to have a new road because that road is just too slow. Joe, do you know when I got to work on Wednesday?
An hour before you left.
7:20. It took 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the big freeway they spent millions of dollars on.
Millions!
Takes an hour and 10 minutes. The old road that nobody uses anymore took 20 minutes.
Yeah.
See, I haven't dealt driving in rush hour traffic for decades. Because when I work downtown, it's, oh, I go to the bus station, I get on the bus, I ride the bus. When I'm working at group homes, they're over in Victoria. There's no traffic between Chaska and Victoria because nobody goes to Victoria. On the plus side, I did get to listen to a lot of Howard Stern.
We had the worst snow we ever had here. And that was Monday. It got worse because we had a little bit of snow on Monday. And we had a storm move through, and what had happened is previously we had a couple days where it was 40, everything melted. So when it started snowing again, it froze, it became ice, and then snow on top of that. Even now there's roads you can barely drive down because they have a thin glacial sheet on them. And, I mean, it was just, it's crazy, even by Minnesota standards. And of course, that's the week Corey decides to come back to work. I will tell you now, though, you do have something in common with Big Mike.
Oh?
His first day when I hired him to work at Hot Comics, he was late. But his was a different. He was the day after his birthday was his first day, and so he was going to the rodeo, and they were all going to have a birthday party. And I said, well, you know, if you want, I can just come in, and you can come in whenever. No, I'll be on time. No worries. I said, okay. I came in anyways. He was late.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I feel bad. I said, no, I don't. I just figured that.
At least mine was, I called a half hour early going, I'm sitting. We haven't moved. I'm probably going to be late. I have one other freaking Joe.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Sure.
Guess how many comics I read during my first week at this new job. And by the way, I'm working the group home every other weekend. And I got calls all week saying, can you come in and work tonight? Can you do a sleeping overnight? I said no to all of them, but I did agree to a sleeping overnight on Saturday night. Do you know how many comic books I have read in the last week, Joe?
Zero.
None.
Yep.
I haven't had any time. I hooked up my WWE network. I got to watch the post Raw show. And everything else, I'll be watching it for like 5-10 minutes, and it stops because they needed to do an update for Roku. But I haven't had time. The only thing I have watched on TV the last week, I will watch Community is in syndication. And I only watched the first couple episodes and didn't like them. So it's, I won't watch it anymore. Well, I've since heard, yo, Community's great. And one of my dearest friends was like, no, 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 you have to watch Community. It's the greatest show ever. So it's okay. I'll give it another try. And now I'm hooked. So when I'm eating my oatmeal before I get in the car and go to work, I watch the episode of Community that was on syndication the night before. So that's the only TV I've watched. I feel bad. I'm a bad nerd.
Yes. Take away your
geeking. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you excited about? What are you going, woo, I can't wait for that.
Women's Prison.
What?
Yeah, I picked up a copy off eBay of Women's Prison Massacre. It makes Scarface look like a Sunday school picnic.
And this is a movie?
It is.
What's it called again? Women's Prison?
Women's Prison Massacre from Retro Chakarama Cinema. It's rated R, as it should be.
Came out in 1983.
I believe. And God asked me, don't ask me why I bought it. It was a couple bucks off eBay.
It's on Amazon right now. It's $16.99, but they only have one left in stock.
Really? Jeez, I bought this for, like I said, probably $4 with shipping. So eBay won that one.
By the way, Joe, this movie was released under another title worldwide.
Oh, what was that?
Emmanuel Escapes from Hell.
Ooh.
So they were trying to tie off the Emmanuel softcore movies.
Oh.
Kind of like, you know, I've talked about.
Yeah, there it is. Also known as Emmanuel Escapes from Hell and Blade Violent.
You know how I've talked about how after the spaghetti western Django came out and was a huge success, they just would title everything Django?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, the people involved in Django had nothing to do with it. So if you go, oh, I want to watch Django, and there's the original Django, and then there's like over 100 other movies with Django in the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did with a lot of softcore. It's, oh, Emmanuel sells, so this is another Emmanuel movie.
Well, apparently this particular one is a bloody sequel to Caged Women. So I'll have to go look that one up.
And you know how I love my spaghetti westerns?
Mm-hmm.
This one's an Italian grindhouse movie, too. This is another Italian film. If we were doing a film podcast, we would talk about Italian exploitation movies constantly. Because in the 70s, anything that was a hit in the U.S., they would do 100 of them in Italy. When The Exorcist came out, was a huge hit. They churned out Exorcist movies and people being possessed by Satan movies. When Jaws came out, they did shark movies. They did an unofficial sequel to Dawn of the Dead called Zombie 2. Mm-hmm. Ian McKellen's in it, by the way. And the shark craze was still big. So one of the climactic scenes in the movie Zombie 2 is a zombie fighting a shark underwater. So when you watch Women's Prison Massacre, you must report back to us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, according to the web app I have, you can buy this thing off eBay for $4.98 plus $2.99 shipping and handling at half.com right now.
What am I wasting time here for?
Oh, there you go. Anything else you're geeking on?
Corey, guess how many comic books I read last week?
100.
Nope.
One.
Bingo. I picked up Knights of the Dinner Table, 204.
Ah!
So, just one of my favorites. Again, if you like gaming, you should check this one out. Not only is it half magazine full of gaming stuff, but the strip itself is phenomenal. I actually have a number 2 in my collection, which I didn't realize. So, that was kind of fun to see. And, of course, I, too, have been taken aback by the WWE network. Yeah, you know, and Corey, guess what the one thing is I watched on WWE network? Well, I watched a couple of things, but guess what was my favorite?
December to Dismember 2006, the pay-per-view that killed ECW.
Nope.
Oh.
Mae Young, one cup, one hand.
You know, Joe, when people send you links to Two Golden Girls, One Cup, mm-hmm. don't click on that link. Just don't.
Okay, well, there goes my plans for tonight. I guess I'll go back on the WWE Network. I did catch there was a Stone Cold one that I watched a little bit of, and then I'm actually at work. I got it on my phone, so I can sit down, and when we have a short break or I'm on my lunch, I can just watch what's on or stream live or just look up some stuff. I also watched Top 10 Catchphrases, brother.
And what was the number one?
Well, again, I only made it to four. I think we went Hulk Hogan, Hulkamaniacs. The what you gonna, can you dig that, sucker? And I think the other one was, oh yeah. But my guess would be probably had to be Stone Cold. Give me a hell yeah.
Now you see, my favorite catchphrase from wrestling is still the genocidal, homicidal, suicidal maniac known as Sabu. Or Taz. Beat me if you can. Survive if I let you. Those were my favorite.
Yeah.
Actually, you could probably, if I were doing it, it would probably be all ECW catchphrases. Because, you know, again, favorite catchphrase in wrestling? I'm going to pull the microphone away a little bit. Oh, my God!
Oh, my God. Yeah, we used to, when we watched the pay-per-views, we'd go down to Nutter's house, and I would put online, and I forget where we'd go, I call it the ECFN Index. Where one of the things we counted was how many times Joey Styles said, oh, my God.
Yep.
And, of course, when the hardcore matches went, that's when we really had fun because we just keep track of everything that he possibly
– one computer keyboard.
Yep.
One staple gun.
There went a cake pan. Oh, did he use the crutch? Yep, he used the crutch. Oh, you missed the garbage can.
Stop sign.
Stop used sign. Stop sign's used.
Well, cool.
Corey, what are you geeking on?
The first thing I'm geeking on, and we talked about it last week, I'll talk about it again this week. Anyone who has not seen the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, I'm showing it to. And people are saying, oh, I gotta see that. And the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer being such a big hit has brought me to a great geek in Joe.
Uh-huh.
There's a comic coming out this summer that I can't buy enough of.
Uh-oh.
Scotty Young, who does the Oz books. The Oz books are now done. The next book he's doing a Rocket Raccoon series.
Oh.
I am going to buy the hell out of that book. I can't wait for that comic. I really can't wait for that comic. Now, I remember that I foreshadowed something.
Uh-oh. Because usually I notice when I listen to old podcasts, yeah, we do a lot of foreshadowing, but we never follow up.
Yeah, because I get distracted. Ooh, look, a squirrel. But really, my week has been, I'm new at the job. They had planned a 4-week training, but I am going through it so fast it's going to be like a 2.5-week training. And they're really surprised that I am picking it up so fast. And all I have to say is, yeah, I've worked in benefits for most of my adult life. You've only got 3 medical plans. You have 1 dental plan. The rest is all how do your systems work. So far, I'm really enjoying the job. The group home, by the way, is desperate for people. So if you live in the southwest suburbs of Minneapolis, contact me. I will give you their information, and then we'll split the new hire bonus.
Woohoo!
Because they give me a bonus if the person stays for 6 months, and I don't think it's right that, you know, Oh, well, I'm the one who showed up and did all the work, and you get the bonus? No, we'll split it. We'll split it 90-10. Okay, maybe 80-20.
Okay, if you give guys, me the, tell you what.
If you give me the picture of a redhead in a corset
eating
with pie and yep. fishnets, I would 75-25.
Yep. And bring Corey pie. That's you'll take it all home. While yeah. he's busy eating the pie, you can just cash a check and you're out of there.
There you go. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us blather on about funny books.
I don't think we don't appreciate it.
These episodes are getting longer.
I didn't even get a chance to mention I got a ton of cool stuff up on my eBay site. Cause, you know, I'm all about the eBay. And although I can't really do free shipping anymore cause, I'm selling too many 99 cent books, which I don't mind. I am actually.
You don't want to eat the shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize shipping was so expensive. I am able to, ship stuff fairly well. A few of the people that have one and have actually told me that they listen to the podcast, I've given a couple of rebates to. But, you know, I do have these boxes from Uline, and they fold over and they keep the comics really secure. So even though you may win a 99-cent comic, I'm still going to put it in that box so you can get it in decent shape because I don't want to hear people's own freaking and geeking that they got some comic from me and it was damaged. And of course, if you did get it damaged, let me know. I'll get your money back to you. I'm not totally non-sympathetic here, but like I said, I've got piles of stuff. If you win something from me, send me a quick note either on the invoice or the PayPal thing that you listen to the podcast and I'll toss in something for free. Who knows?
Something for free?
A copy of Women's Prison Massacre after my wife looks at it and says, no.
Oh, that's right. You can't leave the state to watch movies anymore.
No. Oh, nope. I do it.
Uh-oh.
And with the,
you have to do it when she's out bowling.
With the impending pull of our DirecTV plug, I've got all that, all those things online that I want to watch before it disappears. Yeah. Again, on my eBay, it's crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. And, you know, the other thing too is if you buy something, more than likely I'll turn around like what I bought the other day. Corey, you remember BJ and the Bear, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I bought a tractor trailer of BJ and the Bear. So I've got.
Does it come with a monkey?
It might be one inside. I haven't actually opened the back yet. It's just making a lot of noise. So I have a little tiny diecast of BJ and the Bear tractor trailer, which can go right next to my version of the Bandits from Smokey and the Bandits truck. So
Joe.
And then over here, Joe. I've got my Spawnmobile. Oh, and I got the home Joe. From Homer Simpson. So I
Joe.
Take that out of the pack. I got Starsky and Hutch.
Joe.
Monkey Mobile.
You were talking about a monkey, and then you said if you look in the back.
Oh.
I'm not looking in the back of a monkey for any amount of money.
Hey, we have an SOP at TSN, how to deal with a monkey's diaper.
Well, as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Women belong in the kitchen. Men belong in the kitchen. Everyone belongs in the kitchen. Kitchen has food. Hit my music! Buck is on a roll.